Francesca Rudkin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
A couple of, different films to work through this morning. We're going to start with 50 Shades Freed.
So you want to play?
Yes, sir.
Christian. I made a vow to love you faithfully, forsaking all others.
Did you sleep with her?
To comfort you in times of need, and to keep you safe for as long as we both shall live.
Cerebral stuff. No?
So there was no media screening for this film.
Oh.
Well, that I was invited to. I mean, I was actually quite nice about the first couple of films, so I'm sure I would have got invited if there was
one. Oh, so is this the third?
This is the third and final, can I just say.
Oh, no.
With relief.
Oh, the world
the
mourns.
The final film. Yeah. But the point being that often if a film isn't quite up to scratch, they don't have a media screening.
Yeah.
And they just hope that, you know, fans will go to the film. And, of course, this film is filled with sex. So why screen it and have reviews?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just tell everyone it's filled with sex and fans will flock to it. So this was a couple of hours of my life that I'll never get back.
Right.
It did cost me $18.50, and I'm really I'm really hoping that I can get at least that back from NewsTalkZB, if that's okay. I walked out of this film going, what went wrong? But I know exactly what went wrong. So the original film was released in 2015. Mm. And, you know, as everyone knows, these films are based on the erotic novels by E.L. James. The original film and this sort of mummy porn phenomenon, I called it forgettable guilty pleasure. You know, the audience kind of blushed, yawned and laughed their way through the films. Mm. It was escapism. It served its purpose. And I thought Sam Taylor Johnson sort of did a classy affair with some pretty average material. And then we've kind of come two films along, and it's now 2018. And I just think we're not interested in watching a billionaire and his wife live out their, you know, their marriage and sex life on screen. I just don't think we care about their incredibly luxurious life. So Christian Grey is played by Jamie Dornan, and in the first film, you know, he was the boss, and
right.
His girlfriend Anastasia Steele was his submissive.
Her name is Anastasia
Steele. Yeah, it's so Mills and Boone, isn't it?
It's like, how can you get away with that?
Well, because I think
we guess everyone buys it a little bit.
And Anastasia Steele is played by Dakota Johnson. And
have you ever met anyone with a surname Steele?
Actually, one of my very very good friends is called.
So it is
the
thing.
Steele family.
Okay.
Yes, sorry.
I'm sorry, I retract that.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, please continue.
They're coming for dinner tonight, still, hopefully.
Yeah.
So by the time we get to this third film, they're married, they're sickeningly loved up, they're traveling the world on their yachts and private planes and things, and they're having a few little issues like, should she take his surname? And do they want kids? And, you know, just normal things that people deal with. But, you know, and they have all this wonderful sex. And it's kind of, you get to the point where you go, geez. This is
harrowing.
Dull. Anyway, there's a bit of drama thrown in. Her ex is sort of hounding them, and that throws a bit of suspense in. But look, at the end of the day, you're immune to the shock value of The Red Room. I've seen enough of Dakota Johnson's breasts to last me a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where they smother ice cream all over each other was just absolutely laughable, and it was about the point in the film where I went, okay, we are done.
Okay, we're here.
So thank you for that. Look, production values are high, and to be fair to the actors, they do a very good job of maintaining the tone of this fantasy, which means that you talk to each other in kind of a whisper. So that's a 1.5 stars out of 5 from me.
But you know what? The people who are going to go, they're not going to mind.
Oh,
are they?
Go. And I'm not going to judge you for it. Look, it's good. It's escapism if that's what you're after.
Yep.
I think 3 films in, we're kind of done, and it's time to wrap this puppy up.
What flavour was the ice cream?
I don't know. It came out of a tub. Looked, it was just white, maybe just, probably just like vanilla.
But, well, it'd be vanilla just bean, though, wouldn't it?
It'd be,
or Tahitian
it had to be
vanilla bean.
Sort of
be
erotic
fancy.
In there and exotic.
Okay. Very, very good. Thank you. 1.5 out of 5 for 50 Shades Freed. The Shape of Water is supposed to be a bit better, isn't it?
It is. Thank goodness.
This may very well be the most sensitive asset ever to be housed in this facility.
This creature is intelligent, capable of language, of understanding emotions.
When he looks at me, he does not know how I am incomplete. He sees me as I am.
Hmm.
So The Shape of Water has been out for a week or two, but I wanted to talk about it because wherever I go, people are stopping me to talk about this film. It leads the pack with 13 Oscar nominations, which was a little bit of a surprise. This is such a good time of the year. People, please, oh, look, it's raining. It's a good time to go to the movies, but you will see a collection of some of the best films released over the sort of the 6 weeks leading up to the Oscars. And this is definitely one that I encourage you to go to, although you might have to step out of your comfort zone to enjoy it.
Right.
Guillermo del Toro is, I think, an absolutely fabulous filmmaker. He's imaginative, he's creative, he's unique, he tells these wonderful sort of metaphorical fairy tales. He's also one of these filmmakers who writes, produces and directs, and he does everything from animations through to blockbusters through to this more sort of art house films. And this is a sort of a period fantasy romantic drama, and it's set in the 1960s. We're in America, we're sort of in the Cold War, and it tells the story of a mute cleaner who works at a high security government laboratory, and she falls in love with their latest asset, who happens to be this creature, this monster who's been dragged out of a river in the Amazon. Not human, but has humanistic features,
right,
but is probably more on the animal side of things or potentially a god. And they fall in love and she saves him. And I think I fell in love with this film and I fell right into the story because I love the art direction. I love the production design. I love the detail that has gone into this film. I love the fact that she works at night. So the whole film is sort of set at nighttime and in the dark. And I love the way the scenes lead from one to another. When it comes to the crafting of this film, I fell in love, which maybe enabled me to sort of elevate myself beyond the idea that Eliza, played by Sally Hawkins, who was amazing, is sort of having a love affair with the creature.
Because I did think that was the weird thing.
I know some people haven't, and I know that's what's being challenged.
There is some intimacy. Between the monster definitely. And the person, yeah.
Exactly. So that's a bit difficult. I personally could get over that.
Right.
And I know some people haven't, which is why people have been talking to me about it. But they said, well, you know, it really put me out of my comfort zone. So I did want to talk about this film today because it is quite special and different. Also stars Richard Jenkins, Octavia Spencer and Michael Shannon, who is the real monster in this film. Yeah, so it's, you know, and as you expect from Del Toro, there's politics involved. There's, you know, he makes comments on racism and homophobia and all sorts of things. So there's layers and layers and layers to this film, and I really enjoyed it, and I gave it 4 out of 5.
Awesome. 4 out of 5 for The Shape of Water. That's probably the one you want to go to if you want to be cerebrally challenged out of our movies this week. 50 Shades Freed was that first film. And remember, you can see Francesca's reviews at nzherald.co.nz and at newstalkzb.co.nz. You have yourself a wonderful weekend.
And you.
Thank you so much.